News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 11th of September. Not like you haven't heard that already. Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be doing news, views, stuff you can use, all kinds of interesting, fun, exciting, delighting, thrilling, etc. things. But we're going to start with the news. Not that that isn't lovely, exciting.
Yeah, and the big news is Nick had a birthday.
I had a birthday yesterday. Hey. Yesterday was my birthday.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much. I am 54 years old.
You.
And I'm honestly proud of every minute of it.
I still got yippee.
Hey!
So, have you had your midlife crisis yet?
No, I figured...
Well, midlife was about 10 years ago.
I figured if I wait till 70 to have my midlife crisis, I'll live to 140. Think about it.
Yep.
So I'm... That's how I'm working it.
My wife already had yours.
You have a motorcycle.
My wife was...
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
My wife was typing something up once, and the doctor was describing the woman as middle-aged. Well, she was 45. I'm 45. I'm not middle-aged.
Yep. Just keep moving.
Well, when your average lifespan is less than 80 years, 40 is middle-aged.
No, they keep just tacking on. You know, well, no, they move it up another 10 years.
Yeah, right.
Middle-age isn't until 55.
Right. I'll tell you what,
so
given,
never trust anyone under 70
given
now,
that
right?
I'm refuting every doctor and every person who's thrown either large or small bits of metal at me trying to kill me, I'm still here. The heck with every one of them.
There you go.
I'm happy, thrilled, and delighted. Thank you very much. 54 is a great age, except, of course, for my knee. The one knee with the arthritis in it. That's not so good. But the rest of me is good.
Who is it? Joan Rivers? It says, you know, she's 70, but, you know, her left knee is 40, and her right knee is 20, and her...
Yeah. I'm 54, my right knee is 106 at this point. Yeah, I knew it was going to rain the other day, long before anybody else did. Anyway, we're going to go on to the news. I think that's enough about me. And we'll start with Steve, because he's not ready.
Well, actually, I am ready.
Oh, he's ready.
We're seeing industry analysts responding to the new iMac G5 that was announced last week. There's been a couple of issues of concern that are bouncing around the internet. The new iMac G5 only has FireWire 400. It doesn't have the FireWire 800.
That's interesting. It
only has 100 megabit Ethernet. It doesn't have the 1,000 megabit Ethernet built into it.
And no gigabit either?
No gigabit, only 100 megabit.
Why?
Well, the two issues. One is it's a consumer model, and it helps to differentiate in the marketplace. The professional models have 800 and gigabit. Most home consumers don't have gigabit hubs. They don't need that fast. They're running internet, which is 3K at best. but there have been some interesting objections about leaving off the FireWire 800, and the response is that's a professional issue. And there's a lot of talk about the cooling area and how they were able to keep it so quiet when the G5 is a fairly big heat producer. And basically they did something they had done in the G5. They basically took most of the engineering in the G5 tower and put it into the new G5 iMac. And one of the things they did was a cooling zone. So instead of having one or two big fans that try to blow everything everywhere, they have smaller blowers that are ducted onto specific places on the logic board. So it allows them to cool things better and keep it quieter. And a lot of the now rumors are focusing on what's expected to be the laptop G5 computer, that they've got the motherboard now squeezed down into such a tiny space in the new flat panel iMac that it generally could lead into a laptop. It's got to be even thinner and even smaller for a laptop, but they're making some interesting engineering progress. The other issue that we're hearing is that in the previous generation flat panel iMac, the monitor floated on the neck, and you could lift it up and down, left and right, and tilt it forward and backward. The new G5 doesn't go up and down. It only tilts and rotates. And from their marketing research, they found that very few people ever lifted their monitor up and down. So it was something they didn't engineer into this new model. But we've heard from a couple of people that I use that all the time. Of course, there's always a couple in every crowd. So we haven't seen any at Jesse Group yet. We're expecting them in by the end of next week. At least our demo model. We're not sure when we're going to have any to sell yet. Apple was saying the end of September. But we when the model was announced at about 11 a.m. Paris time, which was about 4 to 5 a.m. Eastern time. So at 8:29, when the East Coast order desks started opening, we had our order in. So
nice.
Hopefully we're among the first people to get one.
Yeah.
A couple of other things. Today is also the Apple Cider Special Interest Group, the Apple Cider Users Group. Our summer hiatus is over now, and we're back in full swing. So our smaller groups that meet on Saturday at the Visual Studies Workshop, 31 Prince Street at University, you can get your questions answered, demonstrations, and things like that. That'll be starting at 1 o'clock. And next Saturday is a good day to mark while you're listening to Soundbites. Lumiere Photo, which is a well-known photography and art gallery on Monroe Avenue, and also, coincidentally, is where our Mac Ave store is in their building.
What a shock.
What a shock. Next Saturday, the 18th, starting at 10:30, running for the whole day, they are opening their digital photo lab. So they've got now a new room with G5s and 23-inch monitors to do your digital Photoshop editing. They've got large format printers, large format scanners. We've got some of the only Epson 4000 printers available in the country, and we got four of them. Very large boxes now stacked up in the hallway. We're having some presentations on Photoshop, on color management, digitizer tablets. Wacom is hopefully bringing in some of their Cinique large monitors that have a tablet built into the monitor. So now instead of drawing on a tablet and seeing the monitor, you're actually drawing right on the monitor. It's a really cool device. Terribly expensive, but really cool.
Yeah, right.
And so that's a couple of things to mark your calendar for.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah.
Dave?
Okay, this is one that really people should really listen to carefully. Now, if you own a Lexmark printer, and there's old, in this recall, close to over 39,000 of them.
Lexmark was a spinoff from IBM.
Right.
Right. So they're also branded IBM and branded Dell.
Dell.
Right.
And it can go under three different names. Under the Dell name, these printers are the Dell 1700 and the Dell 1700N. IBM, the InfoPrint, which is the 1412 and the 1412N. Lexmark has the E232 versions and the E330s, the E330 series. All have a potential for getting shock. So it is highly advisable that you either call, whether it's a Dell or IBM or Lexmark, get a hold of them and have this printer checked out if you just recently got it, because most of these printers were sold between the May and August of this year. You definitely want to get this one checked out because it could cause serious shock factors to you. All right. We
shocking.
Hear this. Yeah, really. Another shocking thing is, a lot of folks think that a lot of the viruses are written here in the U.S. Well, I hate to wake you up to the fact, but over 80% of them, I'll even say closer, probably to 90, are all written overseas. And the young man who created the Sasser worm is now facing a 77-page indictment. And he's already got 143 victims so far that have filed charges claiming damages of over $158,000. This worm literally went out there, and you didn't even have to open anything up. You just got it. He could face 5 years, but 10-1 odds since it's his first offense. He'll probably get off over there in Germany. But a lot of folks are now, because it was a couple folks that actually turned him in to U.S. Giant Microsoft, and are wanting to claim that $250,000 reward for turning somebody in that created a virus. Let's see, what else? Broadband. I know we talked about this last week, but it's kind of interesting how broadband, just in the, since June of 2001 to December 2003, has gone from 9.6 million lines to 28.2 million lines. So, you know, that's really growing. But the one factor that I find very interesting is they're doing it cheaper and faster over in Europe.
Yes, yes,
no,
they are.
In other words, you're getting a lot faster speed and, oh, by the way, it's a lot cheaper. So
depends on where you are in Europe. In some places, they still pay by the minute.
Right. But overall, it's cheaper over there and it's faster.
Yep.
You know, it just brings the question, why the heck can't they do it here?
Apparently, we'll catch up at some point.
Yeah.
On the Microsoft front, Microsoft, as you know, has a product called Longhorn, which was supposed to be out last year. Now it looks like it's going to be out in 2007.
Wasn't its original date like 2002?
Yeah, 2003, I thought. Yeah. Maybe it's two. I've lost track. No, we can understand. They've been taking out features, which leads some people to start calling it Shorthorn. Steve Ballmer hates that, by the way. But one of the things that they just took out this last week is they've had a thing called the Next Generation Secure Computing Base, or NGSCB. They are now letting you decide whether or not you're going to use that. They're continuing to overhaul that technology, which is already very different from the code that was given out to developers last year. They're making modifications on feedback from the industry. Did you know that Windows technical evangelist, his last name is Heil?
Oh, no.
His first name, however, is not Sig, it's Steve.
Close enough. Steve Heil.
Steve Heil. It is Microsoft. Anyway, the new secure next-generation secure computing base will allow companies that use it to separate things like user logins or keystrokes into a little separate compartment within Windows, which should make such information harder for hackers to access, they say. One of the reasons they made the change is the potential customers were concerned that security benefits from the earlier approach were outweighed by the pain involved in changing their internal applications.
Yeah, see, that's one thing that everyone has to start keeping in mind. No current software is going to run well under Longhorn,
at
all.
Yes, it's like the 64-bit version of Windows 2003 server. One of my faculty members wanted it on his machine. I said two things. First, you don't have a 64-bit machine. Secondly, what are you going to run under it? Well, Office. No, you're not. No, you're not. So.
Well, not Microsoft Office.
Right, right, right. Yeah, Open Office I can give you. Not a problem.
Well, it's just like Microsoft XP, too. I mean, here this patch comes out, which now they've even scaled that back down
as
the way you update. But, oh, what didn't it work with a lot? A lot of Microsoft products.
Yep, exactly.
And it's like, wait a minute. Microsoft doesn't check that it works with their own products?
Right.
Let alone corrupting other stuff?
Right. Okay, we all know about the Recording Industry Association of America, the RIAA, and the number of people they've sued and all the legal disputes they've been involved in, particularly with peer-to-peer technology makers, companies that let you share music. Well, they're involved in another one, but this time the RIAA is on the defense. A company called AltNet filed a lawsuit this week accusing the RIAA and several of its partners of infringing an AltNet patent covering technology for identifying requested files on a P2P network. This is the next step in AltNet's campaign. They sent cease and desist letters to a number of companies. A couple of other people are joining them, Brilliant Digital Entertainment, which is AltNet's parent company, ConnectTech, which is a patent holding company that developed the technology in question. So basically, they sent cease and desist letters to the RIAA. I don't know if they've got a leg to stand on, but God bless them. I certainly hope they make it.
Well, it sounds like it's just patent infringement, which they should be able to win. Yeah. RIAA is claiming copyright infringement, and copyright's a little harder to prove than patents.
Right, right, exactly. Microsoft introduced a new line of keyboards and mice this week, including some with fingerprint readers, where you can scan your fingerprint in instead of having to enter a login name and password when accessing online services or logging on to the PC. There's a keyboard, a mouse, and a standalone fingerprint reader, which were added to Microsoft's hardware lineup. Pop quiz, hotshot.
What was Microsoft's very first hardware product?
Mouse.
Nope.
Joystick?
A plug-in card for the Apple II that let you run CPM.
Ooh.
It's a Z80 processor card.
And what is
I'm old.
And what is, what does CPM stand for extra points?
Control Program for Microprocessors. Yeah. Thank you.
Remember PIP?
I do. I use it all the time. And PIP was their copy program.
Peripheral Interchange Program.
Exactly. Exactly.
And good old Edlin.
This is exactly. These are the days, folks. You puppies, you.
Oh, wait a minute.
Back in my day, we used to have to compute uphill both ways in the snow.
When you go to set up an MFM drive back in the old days.
Sure.
And had to use the debug command.
Yep.
Whoa.
Sure.
Cylinder sectors heads.
We remember all of that stuff, not fondly. WordStar. If you wanted to use a printer, you had to run a separate program that let you enter the hex codes to control the printer.
Yep.
Sure. You kids have it so easy today. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. We have a big, big, big announcement later on in the show, so stay tuned. And we might even talk about a couple of new patents that Microsoft has out. You'll love these. Back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wow. These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Back, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Old music for old Nick.
I remember that. When I lived in New York, I met Jilly.
Start spreading.
Frank's buddy.
Oh.
I'm leaving.
Nice guy.
Today.
Nice guy. He introduced me to Mr. Sinatra. Don't call him Frank. At least I didn't get to call him Frank.
Frankie, baby.
I got to call him Mr. Sinatra, which was fine with me. Nice man. At least he was to me. Very polite.
Well,
anyway.
That was always taught. Anyways, anybody older than me was always Mr. and Mrs.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Mr. or Mrs.
Yep.
Hopefully not Mr. and
really
Mrs.
There really isn't anybody older than you, is there? You're old.
Yeah.
Not me. All right, get to the phones in a minute, but first I wanted to tell you. I told you
54?
That Microsoft, I'm 54 years old and proud of it.
Now, you...
Proud of it.
You added a year to it. Because I thought you were only 1 year older than me, or younger than me.
I'm 54 years old. Yesterday I was 54. I'm 54 in a day. I was born in 1950.
1950.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still makes me the older man.
That's you're ancient. You're 56 now? You'll be 56.
I will be 56
next week. 10 days from yesterday.
Monday,
from now.
The 20th. My wife turns.
Yep. And you'll be what, 11 on the on the 19th.
No, I'm 40. I'm in the old crowd. Rob is the young pup.
You're right. You're right. You're just walking into the old.
Yeah.
Steve's birthday.
See, I have to check the next box on those surveys now.
That's the one that hurts.
AARP will be sending you next.
I already did.
Year. Yeah.
I have an AARP membership.
So do I. That made me feel old. That and the fact that next year I have to check out that next 55 or above box.
I refuse to go. I will not. My wife keeps saying, they watch you. You should fill this out. No way.
Hey, it was great. We get cheap hotel rooms, cheap tickets.
I got AAA.
Yeah, but you get a different. It's different. It's great. Steve is, my birthday is the 10th. Steve is the 19th. And Dave is the 20th.
There it is.
Right,
my AARP card.
Right, so we're all September babies.
Since May of 2003.
Rob is in what, January or February?
Yeah. January.
Yeah. So we don't care. He's going to be 9'6", something like that.
I got socks older than him.
And you're wearing socks older than him.
Yeah, thank you.
But before we get...
We've got 100 years.
You can't help but notice.
Yeah, we've got 100 years of computing experience between us.
That's right, and we remember four of them.
Yeah.
Before we get to the phones, I told you I'd talk about a patent, and I'm going to do it. On March 6th, Microsoft was granted... I don't know how I missed this one. They were granted a new one in
Microsoft.
But listen to this. They got a patent on navigation of hyperlinks via tabs. In other words, if you're on a hyperlink in a web page and you use the tab key to move to another and it drops, Microsoft owns that.
Hasn't that done that like since the beginning?
Yes. This is what I don't understand. Oh, you think that's bad? How about this one? Microsoft was given a patent for generating a music snippet. That's right. If you now have a music stream and you cut it up into bits, Microsoft owns that.
And you're going to now have to pay them.
Is that unbelievable? So what moron is running the patent office? What kind of idiot gives a patent for that?
Because it hasn't been patented yet. Some guy patented the wheel a few years ago because there wasn't a patent for
it. These people are morons. I'm sorry. That just it's just asinine. All right, we're going to go to the phones.
That's how you really
feel. Fine, because it's making me, that sort of thing makes me mad. That's so stupid. Our first caller is Dan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Hello. Happy birthday, Nick.
Thank you so much.
And happy birthday, all you other September people.
Thank you.
My birthday was September 6th. I just turned 47.
Happy birthday, Dan. Birthday.
So I definitely sympathize with everyone there. Got a question. I'm running Windows 98 second edition on my compact Presario. I recently, unfortunately, had to run a quick restore or full restore, which deleted all my programs, most importantly, my compact A900 printer information. I have two installation disks, and I'm getting two different messages. From the first one, the message I'm getting, installs the, it's an all-in-one printer. Mm-hmm. It says an error occurred during the move data process, error number 106. When I put in the second installation disk from my compact, it's from Compact Presario, mm-hmm. It says, it may be related, but it says required, it says error starting program, a required .dll file msbbvm60.dll was not found. Mm-hmm. Are those two related, and what can I do?
Well, one, I would have gotten, instead of trying to install older drivers,
okay.
What I would have done is gone up to the web and do a search for that printer.
Okay.
And get the most recent drivers for Windows 98 SE.
Okay.
Because I can guarantee you, since that, you know, those drivers came out that you have on the CD,
yeah.
There's updates. So why not just put something in fresh from the get-go?
Okay.
And not try to, you know, hassle, because you might be getting that DLL message because, you know, doing the clean install and some of the updates,
right,
it's always a matter of how you put things in and how it's a balancing act.
Yeah.
And you might put something in that replaces a DLL that upsets the whole apple cart because this old program is looking for an old DLL, and this new one won't work with it. So
have
that's why I suggest just going up and getting their most recent driver.
Have you also rerun all the Windows 98 software updates?
Yes, I have.
So that's probably what happened.
Yeah.
One of the updates is newer than what the CD is looking for. So
yep.
You need to download the newest driver update from them.
Okay.
Give that a shot.
Great. Sounds good, gentlemen.
All righty.
Thank you so much.
Have a
Thank
good one.
You very much. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. We're going to talk about the website of the week, and that's what we're going to talk about.
Big
announcement is coming up. We'll talk about that a little later. See you in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbite, as we promised, the website of the week.
Don't push that button again.
Sorry, you want to run that sentence by me one more time? Say,
which
say
one?
Say it again, because I cut half you off.
Oh, nice.
I did. I'm sorry.
Oh, I can't believe you. All right. And I said, as promised, we are going to have the website of the week. Be very, very quiet. It's the website of the week.
Oh, me.
Yeah.
All of you.
All you old folks that have to.
All y'all.
All y'all.
Okay, this website of the week. Again, another one for kids. You want to go to
www.washingtonpost.com. www. Sound like George W. Bush.
www.
Get nose king. Like, thank you all for kind of dropping in.
I used to play this in the banjo before I got arthritis.
All right, so it's WashingtonPost.com.
What did Buddy Epson do before the Beverly Hillbillies?
Dave's getting mad.
Everything.
I'm back now here.
Everything? Buddy Epson? He was originally going to be the Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz. Yep. You know.
Turned it down.
Allergic to the paint, wasn't
allergic
it?
Allergic to the paint. And he was Mike Fink.
And then the guy that actually did the Tin Man broke out real bad anyway.
Jack Haley, yeah.
All right, back to the website of the
He
week.
Asked, I answered. Get over it. It's what we do here.
WashingtonPost.com/WP-DYN/kidspost. That's all one word, kids post. Check it out. It's, again, another great one for kids that they can go to, and it's got a lot of great stuff on there for them to check it out.
Check it.
I'm going to try to see if I can get some, you know, for the older kids and all that, but, I mean, most of those kids, they're all into the games and everything else, so I'm trying to look for parents, you know, because I get this a lot, you know, parents come in and they want some place where their kids can go safely, you know, and not wind up with umpteen pop-ups. I had another client, again, going to a newspaper that he always reads overseas, just like he has for the past 3 years. He clicked on it. Over
pop-ups.
50 pop-ups of porn came on. There's his granddaughter sitting in his lap. He had to quick pull the plug on with him.
Sure.
Well, right on the front page of Kids Post, which is basically kid-related news, they've got a survey. What do you do after school for fun? Play video games, read, play sports outside, watch TV, or other. And I'm happy to say that 31% play sports outside is leading.
Very nice.
So we're not quite the TV generation.
Couch right. potatoes. Yeah. Right.
Okay, our next caller, Al from Greece. Welcome, Al. What's your question?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you happy birthday.
Thank you.
You guys are mere children because today is my birthday, and today is my 72nd birthday.
God bless you, Al. Happy birthday to Al.
And as a present to me, could you tell me how to make my computer load up? I have XP home. I turn it on, and I can hear they're clicking and clicking, and about after 5 minutes, it stops, and the screen freezes, and if I wait about another 5 minutes, everything is okay.
Did you say you hear a hard drive clicking?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds to us like it's a hardware
problem. Hard drive
isn't supposed
to click.
Well, that's the normal sound it always made when it was loading.
Yeah, that's really not a normal sound, though, Al. It's hard drive should be real
for my
quiet.
Last 2 or 3 years.
I mean, a hard drive, you should hear it spin up.
Well,
a spinning sound.
But what it sounds like is for the last 3 years, it's been having more and more trouble, and now it's getting worse.
Hmm.
You might want to have that diagnosed.
You really, I'm sorry, Al, but, you know, happy birthday and all that, but I'm sorry, but you got to take your computer
time,
in.
Time for a new hard drive or a new computer for your
well,
birthday.
Well, but, yeah, even a new hard drive, they'll be able to just move all your data over from the old hard drive. So
can
you
I
should
do that?
Be fine.
Pardon?
Can I do that?
If you get the program like Ghost.
Yeah, you can use Ghost or that sort of thing to move it over.
Some of the hard drives come with their own cloning program when you buy them.
Yeah. But that's basically what you got to do, and you got to set the original up as the master and the other one as the slave and just ghost them over or whatever.
Yeah,
if you're comfortable inside the computer, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, listen, we're going to take a break. Back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. We're going to do the news. We got a big announcement later on in the show. And after this break, a new computer-related attraction in Rochester, New York. We're going to talk all about it. See you on the other side on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Have you... America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we get back to the show, let me talk a little bit about our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we have a poll. So we'd love to have you join us by voting in that poll. Last week's poll was about XP Service Pack 2. Have you installed it? I'd like to thank Tony for giving me that poll to put up. 346 of you voted, putting it number 44 on the all-time hit list. Thank you very much. And the big winner at 27% was I'm Still a Tad Leery, followed by I Downloaded and Installed It, followed by I Run a Real OS, You Insensitive Clod, with 71 votes, followed by Not by the Hair of Your Chinny Chin Chin, followed by Automatic Update. So thank you. This week's poll is about Quicken. There was an interesting little news story about Quicken. Quicken made some changes to their personal finance software today and dropped support for a file format that's long been used to exchange data with financial institutions. The QIF, or Quick Interchange Format file, is gone from Quicken, making it very tough to use products like financial services companies, CheckFree, a couple of others. They've been working around in favor of the OFX, the Open Finance Exchange format. So it really does work with a couple of things, but a bunch of others it doesn't work with. And, of course, the QFX format, many places are charging you a few bucks a month to use. So the question is, are you using Quicken? And I wanted to see how much this affected our people. So far, here in the poll, 112 of you have voted. Overwhelmingly, 71% of you have said no, you do not use Quicken, followed by 23% who said yes, followed by it doesn't run on my OS, you insensitive clod. So please feel free to vote in the poll. When you're done with that, underneath the poll, you'll see a yellow box. If you click in there, you can go over to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. Nice!
See, you got a little older, and it went right through you.
Where you can leave a...
Right, try one more time. Go ahead.
All right. That's asknick.com. That's asknick.com. There we go.
I like the first
one. I'm not the only one who's gotten a little older, apparently. Where you can leave your opinion. So far, we have, what, 17 opinions online? So a couple of them actually have to do with the question.
No.
I still really have a couple of opinions about the latest sounds we just heard. But that's what's going on at Soundbites. And we promised you a little earlier that we would be bringing you a big announcement. We'll do that a little later. But right now, we're going to talk about a computer-related attraction that's coming to Western New York. We have on the line Doug Simar. Doug, are you there?
Yes, I am, Nick.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about this computer-related attraction?
Oh, great. Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank
good
you
afternoon.
For having me.
Hey, Doug. It's our pleasure.
Happy birthday to Nick.
Thank you very much.
First off, let me introduce myself. My name is Doug Simar, and I recently had an inspiration to start a computer history museum here in Western New York. Basically, one day I was sitting around with friends and family, listening to my father and his friends talk about computers and how they remember working on this or that system, and I noticed I had no idea what these guys were talking about. You know, here I am, a young guy myself.
You're a puppy, Doug.
So I had the inspiration one day to try and preserve computing history and the past out there and start this computer museum here in Western New York. At present, through my research, I found out that there is a computer history museum located out in Mountain View, California. But as of recent, there is nothing here in Western New York that's easily accessible without traveling, obviously, all the way out to California.
Right, or Boston. There used to be one in Boston. But you're right, there's nothing for us.
There is nothing. And
this is a high-tech area.
Yeah, and there's a tremendous concentration of computer-related people here in Western New York, especially with some of the bigger industries that we've had. And so basically, with the help of the Wham! Listeners and Soundbites, I'd like to ask for help in establishing this computer museum here in Western New York.
And how can we help?
Well, basically, you know, we can look at having listeners and donate artifacts. Currently, you know, we're looking for anything from early Apples to early PCs, you know, such as the Altairs, the early Apples. Maybe Steve could work with his Apple Cider Group to put together a display for the Apples.
And a lot of wives would sure like their husbands to clean out the basement, including mine.
Actually, I've had a lot of people recently call me at my business and ask about donating old computers. And, you know, a lot of the stuff still works, and there's no reason to scrap it. I kind of get frustrated when I hear people say, you know, oh, we'll scrap out the old and schlep in the new. It's... And especially with some of these really old systems like the old iron, like the PDPs and the VAC systems, you know, if there's any either government institutions or educational institutions that are getting rid of these guys, you know, the perfect place for some of these old the old iron like this would be in a museum.
Right, exactly. What a great idea!
Yeah.
And give us some information. I will. I apologize for not getting back to you. I will put this on my website. Doug emailed me last week about this, and it's just been start of the new quarter. It's just been nuts. I haven't answered anybody's email or done anything but work very late every night. And I apologize for not getting back to you, but we will put up a page on the Soundbites website about this. But why don't you give us some contact information right now?
Okay, well, basically, anybody that needs to get a hold of me, they can get a hold of me through my business, which is at area code 585-492-5602, and they can get me directly there.
Say that one more time.
Area code 585-492-5602.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a direct line to myself. Or I'm just going to give, I know this is probably a mistake, but I'm going to give everybody my Hotmail address because I don't quite have anything established with a website yet, which is just Doug Simar, D-O-U-G-S-I-M-A-R, at hotmail.com. If anybody wants to volunteer, anybody wants to make a monetary donation or an artifact donation, you know, just like the guys were saying, you know, they've got all this old stuff in their basement. Or if there's a really unique situation, like I was talking to Nick before about, like say there was an old a deck engineer and he's still got some old equipment that he plays with in his basement, or it's sitting over in the corner somewhere, you know, have those folks give us a call and see what we can do about getting this established.
That's great. Listen, Doug, this is terrific, and we will do more of this again. This is only the beginning of a long process. We're going to have Doug actually, I think, come on the show at some point in a little while, a couple weeks, maybe a month or two, and I'll put up a page. Doug and I will work on putting up a good page, and we'll get lots more attention for this. This is a great thing. I think we could fill this museum for him. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and a big announcement on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Now, we promised you that we'd have a really big announcement later on in the show, and it's later on, don't you think?
We could wait a little later.
We could wait a little later, but
I
don't think we will.
Because I think this is a big one.
This is a big one, but we're going to give it now.
Okay.
We're going to tell everybody, here's the big deal.
I am above the center ring in the big top. Rob Linton will walk without a tightrope. Or without a net. Mm. Or anything. He's basically just going to leap off the platform.
As long as it's not without tights.
Yeah. But after he hits, they won't be all that tight. Here's the big announcement, ladies and gentlemen. Soundbites is moving. Yes, we are moving. Starting the 2nd of October, we won't be on Saturdays anymore. Starting the 3rd of October, we'll be Sundays at 11 a.m. There are a lot of reasons for this move, but here's the big one. Except for a couple of Giants games, we won't get bumped. And those games will be on from 11 to 1. And there's only about three games that start right at 1, so there'll be about a 15-minute
which
pregame.
Which we're still ahead as far
we're
as time.
We're still way ahead. We're way ahead in terms of time. We won't have Paul Harvey anymore. It'll be 11 to 1 every single Sunday, whether you like it or not.
And it's a full 2 hours for 99% of the time.
That's right. So we're very thrilled with this move. The folks at Wham have been very accommodating in finding us a good time when we wouldn't get bumped by things, wouldn't get moved around by things.
Like right now, we're just coming up to the SU football season.
Right, next week we're cut short. We're going to be on from 12 to 1 next week.
And then, like I say, with the football, we get bounced around all over the place because of late starting.
We didn't want to talk about that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that was unbelievable.
So, starting on October 3rd, and of course, I'll have to remember to change the website. We'll be on from 11 to 1 every Sunday. Now, for those of you who will not be able to listen live, of course, you'll still be able to catch the archives. We do have a set of archives. Steve is doing yeoman service over there not pausing correctly, so he's actually going to have to go in and edit.
I got
to
edit it now.
He's real pork off now. But we'll still have that up. And of course,
that's what happened last week.
Stream.
I didn't get last week's posted until last night. It was a holiday weekend. Oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. Oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. Oh, I got to go back to work now.
But we are going to move, and I do want to thank the folks at Wham for accommodating us in this. It's nice to know that they think enough of us to put us somewhere where we won't get bumped around the schedule a lot all the time, and we're very pleased with the move. So starting on October 3rd, we'll be on 11 to 1 every single Sunday.
Plus, you know, I mean,
I kept saying 11 to 2 to Jeff while I was on the phone with him. Jeff Howlett, who's the station manager here, kept saying 11 to 2, and he kept saying, "You're not getting an extra hour." Because I'm sorry,
we'll
I know it's 11
that.
To
we'll
1.
We'll work on it. We'll work on it. But anyway, so I mean, just getting that extra 20 minutes. I mean,
yeah,
there's quite
great.
A few weeks when we just can't get to all the phone calls.
Well, we never get to all the phone calls,
and,
but we get
know,
to a lot of
this
them.
This gets an extra 20 minutes that we can get that many more calls in and help that many more folks out.
So, yeah, so we're real excited about this. It's going to be a great move. And speaking of phone calls, we're going to talk to Joe, patiently waiting on a cell phone. Welcome, Joe. What do you know?
Me, Joe?
You, Joe. Me,
oh,
Nick.
Okay,
you, Joe.
Great.
Oh.
My name is Joe, and I'm a Windows user. And I recently noticed that the only thing that actually I'm running on my machine is that's actually from Microsoft anymore is Windows itself. So I'm kind of pondering jumping over to Linux, and was wondering if you guys had any good tips on maybe a book or a site where somebody that I mean I'm a fairly advanced Windows user could make an easy, smooth transition over to Linux.
Well,
particularly
first,
either.
Yeah, go ahead.
Particularly either Slackware or FreeBSD, I think.
Slackware is good. FreeBSD is good. You might want to take a look at Lindows.com.
Okay.
You have to actually pay for that one, but it's a great early transition product for Windows users to Linux. I personally use Debian. It's a little harder to install, but once it's installed, it's ludicrously easy to upgrade. One of the places you might want to take a look at is LinuxVirgins.com. It's titled A Gentle Guide for First-Time Linux Users. It's got a little bit of it's got a whole bunch of really interesting stuff. One of the things is it talks about installing it and booting it and using it, problem solving,
a link to it,
networking
right
it. There are a couple of good books. There's Moving to Linux is a great book for people who are moving to Linux. It's by Marcel Gagné, G-A-G-N-E. If you've ever read Linux, which one? One of the Linux magazines, and I can't remember which one it is now. He does an article every month about.
See, that's what happens when you get older.
That happened to me a long time ago. But he does a column every month about running Linux. It's called Cooking with Linux, a series. It's in Linux Journal magazine. It's a great column, and this is a great book. It's called Moving to Linux, so how to convert your PC to a Linux system, how to do all the things that you're doing now in Linux. It's a pretty good program. And
here's one called The Linux for Non-Geeks that looks pretty good.
Right, and there's one of the things is this book, Moving to Linux, also comes with the Knoppix CD, actually pronounced Knoppix, K-N-O-P-P-I-X, at Knoppix.org. Which you can download the live CD, boot into Knoppix without touching your hard drive, and play around and practice in Linux.
Oh, okay.
Before you install it on your machine. Now, you have to be aware that because it's running from CD, loading data is really, really slow because it's running at CD speed, not at hard drive speed. But as long as you understand that, and as long as you understand you're just playing and learning, it's a great way to get used to Linux.
Without messing up your current install.
Without messing up your current install.
Or buying a brand new computer to play with it on.
Exactly. That's called Moving to Linux. And check out LinuxVirgins.com. Great thing. It's pretty neat. You can even print out a bumper sticker called My Other Computer Runs Linux. It's pretty neat stuff. So I would check out LinuxVirgins.com and see what that has to say for yourself.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Great call. That's the kind of thing we like to see. People...
experimenting.
Who are experimenting and not willing, not afraid to try new stuff and to move on. And it's true, you know, once you've gone, once you've dumped Internet Explorer for something like Firefox, once you've done dumped Outlook Express for something like Thunderbird, once you've dumped Office for something like OpenOffice.org, all of which run on Windows and all of which are free, and all of which also run on Linux, once the only thing you're using Windows for is the operating system, why do you need it?
Yep.
Never hurts to try something new, I always say. Our next caller, Debbie from Rochester. Welcome, Debbie. What's your question?
Yes, I seem to be having a software problem.
Okay.
And it says the application has failed to start because WinServe was not found.
WinServ. WinServe not found. What is the application?
Windows XP.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thanks. I had all problems when I downloaded, and you know how the computer flashes you that, you know, here's an update, you need to download. Okay.
Okay.
Any suggestions?
Yeah, sort of the...
Was this Service Pack 2 by any chance?
Yes, it was.
Ouch.
Yeah. Okay.
When did you just do this?
Yesterday.
All right. What I would suggest, Debbie, is while the machine is booting,
right?
Let's see.
It's F.
I'm wondering if going into safe mode.
If it goes into safe mode.
Yeah, if it'll go into safe mode. By pressing the FA key, if you go into, you can get into safe mode.
Right.
You can go into accessories and system tools, and there's restore, system restore.
Okay.
Pick a date that's a couple days previous.
Okay.
And it'll set it back prior to this XP2 update.
Okay. So the F8 key, you said?
Yeah, the F8 key, while it's booting, you'll get a menu, and one of the options is safe mode.
Okay.
See if it'll go in there, because quite often that's it's plain vanilla. It does, you know, the screen will seem real big, the icons will be real big, because it doesn't load all the other drivers.
Okay.
Try to get in there. If that doesn't work, you might have to reboot. If it won't go into safe mode, then you're going to have to reboot. And again, hit the F8 key. One of the other options is last known good boot up. But do that. Do the safe mode first.
If you can't get that far, you can do it from the XP install CD, where you can boot to repair mode in there and restore from a previous registry entry.
Microsoft also has extensive description on their website that I'm posting now on how to fix this problem.
Excellent.
Involves editing the registry and downloading other tools, and it's
very nasty. Great.
So go to Microsoft website.
Go to our website, soundbites.org. That's bytes with a Y. Francis needs us to remind you.
Yeah, but
and
if you can't get in.
Yeah, on another computer.
Well, you have to do that on another machine, right? And then you'll see a link that'll explain everything you need to do.
Try getting into
the
safe
mode. Take a look through that, and if it turns out that you feel like you don't really want to attempt that, then maybe you should think about bringing it to a reputable vendor.
Okay, and I have the reinstall CD from Microsoft Windows XP. Is that what you're suggesting I put in?
No,
not yet.
Try the F8 and go. Don't try the safe mode.
Well, unless there's
the last known good boot up first.
Unless there's no data on your computer,
right.
That the easiest thing is to just run the restore disk. But
if
there's data you want to save,
yeah, it'll take it back to the day you bought it, including wiping out all your data. I don't think that's what you're looking for.
Oh.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay.
So try the safe mode first. If that doesn't work, then hit the F8 key again after you reboot and try the last known good boot up. Otherwise, yeah, you're looking at some serious repair work there. Patching it and fixing it.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Debbie.
Okay, bye.
Thank you very much. Our next caller... There we go. Our next caller is Wayne from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Wayne. What's your question?
You're having up.
I was having trouble with my computer, but it finally came to me.
You know, once it gets past 50, you're allowed to call them senior moments.
I'm having senior weekends. I have whole senior week months. I'm having to senior life.
Okay.
But I believe we're still talking, unless I've lost even more time, and I might have. We're talking to Wayne from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Wayne. What's your question?
I have a question. I'm having a network file sharing problem. I have a Windows XP and a Windows 98 that talk to each other upon boot up.
Yep.
and they'll maintain a connection for about 10 minutes, but then the XP can no longer see the Windows 98 computer. However, the Windows 98 computer can still share files and printers off of the XP machine. And
so
they both access the internet quite easily, and it's over a Wi-Fi network.
File sharing works for a while and then stops?
Yeah, actually the XP loses all connection to the 98 machine.
Does the 98 go into any kind of sleep mode or
no, I disabled that through the BIOS and through the
control panel. And you're using TCP/IP?
Yep.
For both?
I'm both. Yes, I disabled any of the net BIOS.
Are both the computers wireless, or is one wired and one wireless?
One goes into the access point, and the other one is the 98 is wireless.
Who makes your access point?
Netgear.
Have you tried wiring the wireless one in for, through a network card and see if it loses it that way?
Yeah, try wiring them both for a while and see what happens.
All right.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, Wayne, this is going to be a semi-long process. So if you can try doing that,
yep.
Make one wired and one wireless, or make them both, either both wired or both wireless would work. But it's probably cheaper to make them both wired.
Yeah, because I've got 80%.
Right.
But
right.
It does dip out occasionally.
Right. Well, we'll do that and let's see if that holds the connection. Then we'll know the problem is in the access point.
Okay.
And we'll go on from there. So if you can do that for us, then call us back next week early and let us know what happened.
Sure.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. We're going to take another quick break, but we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and we're going to talk about really cheap long distance, as well as take more of your phone calls on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Well,
don't want to go there.
Really, it's too bad you can't hear what goes on in the commercials. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Actually, it's good for us that you can't hear what goes on in the breaks. I told you when we came back, I'd talk a little bit about a really cheap long-distance service. There are a number of these out there. This seems to be, I think, the least expensive one I've found. It's Lingo, L-I-N-G-O, at lingo.com. And Steve's going to put that up on the web if he ever finishes looking at whatever he's looking at.
No, I'm looking at our MacAV webcam, and apparently it tipped over because there's a nice shot of the ceiling tile.
Oh, that's right.
So, Adam, if you're listening, which you should be because I left the radio on, fix that second webcam.
The there's a site called Lingo, and it is one of the internet phone service companies. You can get this from a million different places. This one appears to be for unlimited long distance calls to the United States, anywhere in the United States, anywhere in Canada, and anywhere in Western Europe. It's 500 minutes a month for anyone in the U.S., anyone in Canada, anyone in Western Europe, plus free unlimited in-network calls. So if you call another Lingo user, it's free no matter how long you talk.
Right.
$20 a month. You get the first 3 months for free. I'm sorry, I'm not reading this well. $20 a month is unlimited minutes every month. It's a senior life. You get unlimited minutes for the U.S., Canada, and Western Europe, plus a whole bunch of different calling features. And that's for $20 a month, and you get the first 3 months for free. If you're a business, there's all kinds of business plans for unlimited minutes here and there. It's a really neat thing. And again, it's just a matter of the way it works is that whatever your high-speed internet connection is, whether it's cable or a DSL or whatever, I suppose it doesn't work with satellite, but you basically all the calls go through that connection and over the internet, and then they connect you at the other end. You get a Lingo phone adapter. You just plug your phone right into it. It doesn't change your internet connection. You still send emails, do web surfing, whatever you want to do. So that's all it is, and it's very fast. It's very neat. Now, the big thing you need to know about it is that you don't. One of the things that the phone company does, which and nobody else does. If the power goes out, you still have a phone. That's not true here because...
I had to do that at our office last week because everyone's got phone systems, multi-line phones, cordless phones. They're all AC powered.
Right.
And with all the power failures we've been having in the storms recently, the phones don't work. So I ran down to Walmart and bought a $5 hardwired phone.
Right.
And if it breaks, I'll buy another one.
Right. But as far as the rest of it is concerned, it's very inexpensive, very neat. You get all kinds of features like voicemail and call forwarding, caller ID. It's pretty neat. You ought to take a look at it. It's at lingo.com, and I thought that'd be a nice thing to talk about for those of you who are interested in looking at long distance and stuff like that.
It's similar to the Vonage service that we've talked about
Vonage
in the past.
Vonage is another one that does it.
Right.
Frontier has something like it, I think, but I know that Roadrunner.
Yeah, Time Warner
has something like it. So it's just
another
one of those things to look at.
What's interesting is that the traditional telephone companies are petitioning the FCC to get these internet phone companies declared phone companies.
Right.
Because with telephone, land-based telephone lines, there's all these extra tariffs that the phone company pays and has to pass on to the customer.
Right.
So the internet companies aren't paying that, and that's one of the reasons they can be so much cheaper.
Right, and at some point, if depending on the results of that suit, these companies may have to raise their prices.
How big the lobbyists are.
Right, exactly. But right now, it's a pretty good deal, and if you're looking for something like that, and given the fact that, you know, if your power goes out, the phone goes out. Given that, it's a pretty nifty deal, particularly if you have family overseas or scattered around the country. For $20 a month, you can talk to them all night long for free.
Even,
how do you beat that?
I've even seen a lot of people are going to cell phone only, discontinuing all their land services and have a cell phone.
You still
need to plug it in and charge it. But.
Right, but even so, it's still better. And, of course, then you got to have those things so you don't get, like, brain tumors all the time. If you believe that little... Did you have a seizure over there?
Did we wake you up or something over there?
I'm playing pinball.
Tilting doesn't work on when it's computer pinball.
I didn't even realize our news computer had the pinball game. That's a beautiful thing.
All right, anyway. Okay.
It probably isn't supposed to.
We're going to go back to the phones now and hope we can tear Rob away from pinball long enough to bring up Walter from Greece, New York. Welcome, Walter. What's your question?
Hello there, folks. Happy birthday, Nick. I hope you had a good Falstaff feast.
Yes, I did. Thank you. There's somebody who remembers. You have a long memory, Walter.
Oh, yeah. It was great. You were fun.
Thank you.
Good play. And I'll quickly just jump in. We used Marcel Gagné's book. Heartily endorse it. It's great.
Is it great?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to have to get a copy myself. I mean, I'm using Linux. I don't care. But I really like his writing, and I'm going to go out and get a copy.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a little background, and then I'd like to have your thoughts about computer security testing. We have Windows 98 SE using Netscape 7.1. We loaded in Norton Internet Security 2004. We had a suspicion that the email scanning wasn't working. I used ICAR, set it up to both distribute as well as receive email, found it didn't work, so we had to go ahead and do a whole big uninstall of Internet security. What do you think about running ICAR for anybody when they first installed? Because this was obviously, we thought we were all fine, but it took us about 2 weeks to wonder, is this stuff really working?
Well, one of the first things you should run is Stinger to make sure you're not already infected.
We did that.
Okay, because a lot of the viruses will prevent your antivirus from installing properly.
Yeah, because we use a Security Tango. We followed that religiously for a long time. And so, therefore, we came up with nothing. We did all the scanning beforehand before loading it in, and it was just apparently a bad install.
Yeah. This is the problem with most of that stuff. How do you know it's working?
Right.
You pretty much know it's negative. It's working negatively. If it doesn't work, right? I mean, if you have a problem,
yeah,
right.
Then you know it's not working. So that's kind of hard. That's one of the reasons that I tell people to stick with the Security Tango. That stuff I know works. And for example, the firewall that we tend to recommend, which is Zone Alarm. You can see it running. You can go and look at what it's actually blocking. It'll pop up and tell you what it blocked, so you know it's actually working. In terms of scanning for email viruses, I would prefer something that gives you a log.
Well,
so you
usually
can go look at it.
But in most of the antivirus programs, you can turn on the log saying, I'm
right.
cleaning this, I'm cleaning this. It's annoying because it happens so often.
Yeah.
So that's one of the
things. The logs get huge.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the things you can use as positive feedback that pretty much every day you should get a virus attack with
right.
the way viruses are running
yeah.
these days. So if you're... If
they
you're,
say the average is 20 minutes. If you put up an unprotected system... Windows system on the internet, you will be owned within 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, we get plenty of hits by, I hate to say it, there's this one telecommunications company in Rochester that keeps hitting on us, and the firewall keeps blocking them out.
Yeah. Well, it's not the company, it's a subscriber.
Oh, okay.
Right, it's not the company themselves, of course.
Yeah, but yeah, so if you're not getting messages that viruses are being blocked, then it's not working.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we've been very fortunate. That's why we were wondering what's going on and tried it. Therefore, do you think it's worthwhile to run iCar every so often? Because you keep hearing about corrupted files, etc.
Yeah.
And there's other tests that are out there, even for firewall, independent ones like leak tests.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think they're worthwhile to try to run once a month? Or?
Well, I'll tell you, the one that I like to run is in terms of firewall testing, is at grc.com.
Okay.
Gibson Research Corporation, Steve Gibson. It's called Shields Up, and there's a link right off the front page. And it's a testing system. Oh, I seem to have gotten a spin right instead. I don't know what I did there. But yeah, it's a little test that you can run on your system from their site
right.
that will tell you how clean you are. It's called Shields Up, and it's at grc.com. Steve's putting up a link even as we speak.
Yeah, that's been there.
It's already been there. And then it'll tell you exactly how you're identified on the internet and how what it finds running on your machine and all of that stuff. There's a whole bunch of disclaimers. Nothing is foolproof. Nothing is foolproof.
Yeah, even iCar makes a lot of disclaimers.
Exactly, but that's the one I happen to like best.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, iCar is a test virus. It acts like a virus, but isn't really a virus. So it's a way to test your antivirus. It should pick it up.
Right. Okie doke?
Okie doke.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
When cats and... Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites, and we're going to talk to Marty from Fairport.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Marty. What's up?
Well, I think I might have my first virus, so I need a little direction here. I went to...
A newbie. How sweet is that? Congratulations.
I've never had one. So, anyways, I started up the system this morning. I got the message, the Norton antivirus offer. Tech driver could not be loaded. Your system is not protected from viruses. Please restart your computer. I've done that. I keep getting the same message. I'm able to go into AOL, but I can't visit any web pages. I can read mail, but I can't write mail. Then I went to the start. I can't invoke any of my programs. And I have a message, a settings alert from Symantec saying integrity of Symantec product settings cannot be verified at this
you need
time.
To go to somebody else's computer.
Yeah.
Can you get to the internet?
Stinger.
Yeah, you should download Stinger, but
he said he can't get any pages to show up.
All right.
Oh, I can from this computer. I can't. But I can get to another computer.
Yeah, go to securitytango.com.
Say that again, please.
securitytango.com.
All right.
And you'll see a whole bunch of interesting stuff there, which you might want to read later after you get your computer fixed.
Okay.
But there's a button that says Let's Dance.
Okay.
Click on that and follow step
by step, as with any good tango.
He only needs Stinger.
Well, he needs to start there, right.
Stinger first to get the virus off, then he can get back on the net.
Well, but the first step is the temp files and turning off the restore and all that stuff, which you need to do to make sure that you don't get reinfected.
Yep.
So do that and then download Stinger and run that. That should clean out your system fine.
Okay.
And then you may need to reinstall your antivirus software.
Yeah, I tried to do that. It won't let me answer.
Until you get rid of the virus, nothing's going to work.
Klez is one of the most notorious ones. Right. If you got Klez on there, the whole purpose of Klez was to disable and not allow you to uninstall or update McAfee, Norton, AVG, or any of the virus programs.
Right. So definitely run the security, advance the security tango. Start with step one, which gets rid of all the temp files and stuff, and then go on to step two, which is Stinger.
But I'm going to have to do that from a different computer.
Well, you're going to have to download Stinger from a different computer.
Right.
And then I burn it to CD, or I don't even remember how big it is.
On
I think
it's 500K.
Yeah, yeah, fits on a floppy.
Not the only thing anymore.
Right. So if you've still got floppies, you can put it on the floppy and move it over to the other machine. Make sure you lock that disk.
Okay.
Right? And
well,
then,
I'll be burning it to a CD.
Okay, and then run it, and it should work.
Well, if you're going to use a CD, you might as well download all the programs from the first
Stinger
computer.
Stinger and Bybot.
Stinger Adware, and Bybot, and each reference file update.
Yep. Right, okay. And then burn them all to CD, and then bring them over to the other machine. After you do step one, which is to clean out all that stuff, then step two, which is Stinger, step three is reinstall your antivirus. Then, from that CD, you can install Adware and Spybot and do steps four and five. And then make sure you've got a firewall running. I don't know if your version of NAV had a firewall with it or if it was on.
Yeah, I don't have a firewall running.
Well, then again, from the Security Tango, there are a number of them listed. I personally like Zone Alarm from ZoneLabs.com. It's listed on that page.
Great. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate the help, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
And good luck.
This is just, I believe, another little demonstration of the fact that no matter what you try, no matter how hard you work at it, no matter what you do, you can still get infected. So, constant vigilance.
We should reiterate about the move.
Right.
We're coming down to the end of the show here.
Right. We do want to mention that starting on October 2nd, you won't find us on Saturdays anymore. Which is only 3 weeks away. It'll be October 3rd. We'll be moving. We're staying on our home station of Wham, but we're moving to Sundays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Not 2 p.m., as I consistently want to say, but from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., a full two-hour show. Every Sunday morning from 11 to 1, we'll still be recording it. We'll still be doing all the stuff we've always done. We'll be live on Sundays now. I want to apologize to everybody to whose call we did not get. I want to thank everybody who did call in. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. We will be back here next Saturday for the second last time.
Mm-hmm.
We're on at 12 o'clock next week, 12 to whatever. And then, like I said, we're moving to Sundays. So I want to thank you all. We'll see you next week on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.